Welcome back to Twice Upon a Time. This time, Roger and I watched Season 4, Episode 21, Mother. As always, we'll start off with a synopsis. In the Enchanted Forest, Regina mourns Daniel on the anniversary of his death, only to encounter her mother, Cora, who wishes to help her find true love. Cora makes Regina believe that Nottingham is her true love, but Regina quickly discovers the ruse and Cora's real plan, to use Regina's future child to take control of the throne. To spite her mother, Regina drinks a potion that makes her barren. In Storybrooke, Lily and Maleficent meet for the first time, but Lily is disappointed that Maleficent doesn't want revenge. Maleficent goes to Snow and Charming for help, and they encounter Lily in dragon form. Maleficent convinces Lily to stay so that they can get to know each other. Regina, now in possession of the author's pen, the author himself, and Lily's blood, which works in place of Emma's going dark to charge the author's ink, asks the author to erase Selena from existence. When Selena accuses Regina of being like their mother, Regina has a change of heart, but Isaac, fed up, returns to Rumple to write his happy ending, Heroes and Villains. Roger, what do you think of this episode?
Unsatisfying. I think there were some parts that were fun. Maleficent and Lily, specifically, I thought was pretty nice. The things that you gave her the win for actually happened in this episode, which I thought were really nice. The rest of it was kind of... You built up this kind of fun season about, like, oh, how are we going to see this? And the answer was, oh, actually, that thing didn't even need to happen at all. Turns out we had a loophole the entire time. Which, okay, I'm fine, but, like, that was lame. Yeah, I don't know, I was just very... I was done with this episode. I'm ready to get to the next one, but...
You, Isaac, were fed up and ready to write something fun?
Well, not only that, but, like, it would be like if you did the entire season about... Like, first season was about breaking the curse, and then it turns out, oh, but if you just drink this potion, that will also break the curse. And it's like, then why did we build 20 episodes to this? This just seemed very... disappointing.
Yeah. I like this episode a lot, actually. I really like the flashback, but I think that it does not belong in this episode.
Yeah, out of place.
Because I think that the flashback has some really powerful themes and, like, really draws on, like, Regina is her own worst enemy. Regina stands in her own way. And I obviously always love to see Barbara Hershey. I think that that story would have been a lot more powerful if there had been even any interaction between Regina and Henry during this episode.
Well, and also, this would have been a great season two story when Cora is there.
Yeah.
And, like, it would have been good to see that Regina is always the cause of her own problems, usually.
Yeah. I think parts of the... Maleficent and Lily, like, getting to know each other is nice, but also I would have liked to have some more time. I feel like Maleficent, and you know, maybe that's actually, like, pretty realistic, that, like, you'd just be like, oh, this is what I've been waiting for, and it's here. I don't care about anything else. Like, I actually think that might
be reasonable. I think that's reasonable. Her lack of, I think her desire for revenge is because she assumed her baby was dead.
Yeah.
Now that her baby is here, she just wants her baby.
Yeah.
So I get that. That's why I actually kind of thought it was, like, a nice, sweet moment.
And I think that some of the Regina in the present stuff lacks punch.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. Anyway, let's dive in.
Lacking punch is, I feel like, maybe three of my stories ending. Is that, like, that? That's what we came with?
Yeah.
Where do you want to start? I actually have no idea where we start. Regina and Robin? Is that the first thing that we see in the present?
Yeah, in New York. They are in a bar.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was nice to see Robin, like, his first thought to be about Roland and how that was going to impact him.
Boy, that I wish that had stayed so nice. Our answer is memory erasure. Yeah.
I'm not sure how I feel about that.
I think it's fundamentally...
I mean, the situation is so fucked up.
It's the correct move because he technically has a memory that is fake. His mother never came back from the dead, means really he should be at the spot that he was before, which is mommy left me when I was young. It just seems so wrong to say, as a parent, I'm going to tell you what your memory is.
Yeah, and especially, I don't really know how long it's been.
It's been a while. At least 2 months.
I guess 2 months isn't so bad. If it's been longer than that, maybe it's worse.
But I said at least 2 months.
He's certainly, like, learned other things and formed other connections since that time. So that's, I don't know if they can just selectively erase.
I feel like it would be better to tell him that was never mommy.
Yeah.
It seems wrong to just erase it, but I get it. It's probably just the easiest way to put this.
And like it would be so hard for him to know, like, how are they going to explain, like, this weird situation with, like, his younger sibling that is inside of a person that he knows to be a villain, and like this weird tension between like Robin and Regina, who he's always known to like be not like that. I don't know, it's just weird.
But I mean, he's seen that tension because of Marion, so that isn't unusual. I think it's more so that, like, well, how do you explain where mom actually is?
But if you erase the Marion, there is none of that. I don't know.
There is no tension. Then it's just tension with her and Zelina.
But it was nice to see that, like, he wasn't just thinking about himself.
Yeah. I also like that he said that, like, well, now that Marion's out of the picture, technically we can be together. But then now it's, like, Regina who doesn't believe it, which I don't know that I bought that logically.
I don't think that I think that it's hard for her not to lean back on tendencies of, like, being her own worst enemy.
Yeah.
And she gets to that at the end of this episode. But I think it's fair to acknowledge, as Robin says, it's messy. The situation is messy. It's going to be messy.
Which, for you and I, makes more sense because, like, messy isn't what we live in.
Yeah.
But that...
you're right. Or gosh, when this baby is born, it is both... Like, let's say they get married. It's Regina's stepchild and also her niece or nephew.
This game. Every time we do the family tree, my brain just knots and breaks.
Gosh.
Yeah. I mean, because, like, everything is so damn crazy in this town. I mean, you've got Neil and, you know, Henry and the bizarre, like, oh, it's actually, I'm your adopted mother and also your step-grandmother. Welcome to Storybrooke. Yeah.
Also in New York, I love when Emma and Lily and Zelina are in the apartment. And, like, Emma's kind of, like, Lily's asking her about Neil. And Emma says, now he's just gone, thanks to her, pointing at Zelina. And Zelina goes, sorry? Sort of like Hook's, sorry?
I know she says, oops.
No, she says, sorry.
Oh.
And then they all go back to Storybrooke.
I also like that she used her pregnancy as a shield.
Oh, totally. Oh,
I think I felt the baby kick. I'm like, damn, you're twisted. Well played.
Too early to feel the baby kick.
I wish we'd explore more of Emma should want to kill her.
Mm.
I mean, she killed Neil. Like, regardless of, you know, oh, well, Neil, and look, Neil put himself on a dark path, but it was like, Zelina actually manipulating him to force him into a situation where he felt desperate enough to resurrect the Dark One. She should have some strong feelings about this and, like, want her dead.
Yeah.
And we don't actually really touch on that. Like, we never really get Emma wanting revenge besides that one episode in 3B. And she runs into her again, and she should want her dead. Like, desperately, she should want her dead for what she did and took her from her.
Yeah.
Or hell, I wish Henry was here to be like, you killed my dad.
Yeah.
I hate you. Don't get that.
I don't think that Henry would want to kill her, but...
It'd be nice to see Henry do something.
Yeah.
He even in this episode?
No, he wasn't.
Was he in the last episode? No, he's in this episode when they come back.
For like us, they like...
I don't think he says anything.
Say anything?
Nope.
Yeah.
Most ridiculous moment, Henry doesn't exist anymore.
He just isn't real. He's not a person.
Yeah. Maybe he got written out of existence.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you brought up a good point about, like, bringing her back to Storybrooke is a
dangerous
play.
Why would you do that? Actually, why isn't the Storybrooke prison just, like, slightly outside of Storybrooke?
Well, because, like, you couldn't put Maleficent in there because she would just die. And, like, you all
have to... Which was an interesting tidbit that I did not know.
Yeah. She's completely bound by being there. Yeah, you know, it's funny. we talked about this in the past where you said, we're like, well, as long as she doesn't have her magic, then she's not that big of a threat. And then now you're on like the other side. We're like, well, she's back in town. Like, yeah, she's got a cuff on, but what happens if that cuff gets off? And I'm like, yeah, sometimes you got to kill people. Like, Rumpel was just right. Because let's be real, that cuff is, you're talking about 3 steps away from a very dangerous witch being on the loose.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
Yeah, not the best play. And then she's going to, what, permanently trap her down there?
Yeah, it was clear to me in the first, when Regina takes her down there, it, like, it's very clear that Regina will do nothing to harm the baby. Like, that's, I get that. It's unclear to me if she's going to murder Regina or murder Zelina after the baby's born.
Also, Ratchet kept throwing interesting looks that made me wonder if she was working with Zelina.
Oh.
Because she just kept giving, like, these aggressive glances, almost like someone who's, like, on the take. And Zelina was surprisingly smug for someone who's trapped without magic. I don't know. Yeah. It was odd.
Isaac and Rumpel.
Sure.
We get a bagel joke. Always fun. I always love a bagel joke.
Now, Isaac is not from the real world.
We will learn that Isaac is from the real world.
Ah, okay. So he is familiar.
He does know what a New York City bagel is.
Because I was like, well, last time we saw him, he was in the Corellis past. I didn't think he was from the land without magic. So we will finally get an Isaac backstory that will tell us that he is aware of the differences between a bagel and a storybook bagel. Yeah, I mean, I actually really liked the scene where Regina just basically was like, Rumpel, you're too weak. And like, Hook says the same thing. You're an old dog with no teeth. You can't even strike back because of your heart. And they're just all pushing Rumpel around right now. And I'm like, guys are playing a dangerous fucking game, man.
Definitely. I mean, like, I understand what they're saying.
Hook is stupid. How many times do you have to fuck this up before you learn? Stop toying with a man who wants to kill you. Are you stupid?
Dumb. It is dumb.
Truthfully, I get Regina doing it. Regina has shown that she can get a one-up on Rumpel, and she's relatively powerful as her. Hook is basically a defenseless damsel.
Yeah. The only thing I appreciated about the scene is that, like, Rumpel actually is so, like, he's broken. Mm-hmm. And I think that, like, I didn't quite understand how bad it was until this happened.
I didn't know how bad it was either.
Because, it now sounds like he can't do anything to harm another person, because that will, like, be the last thing the end he of his ever rope. Does.
Yeah. Like, he literally time has run out now. He is just on fumes.
And we kind of get some interesting information that, like, we hadn't quite learned before. Like, he said, like, you know, the last bit of my humanity will go away. But he tells Regina, friendly warning, you don't want to face the Dark One when no one else is at home. And Regina, like, didn't quite understand. She was like, the Dark One can't die. But he's like, but Rumpelstiltskin can.
Which I feel like the problem that the characters in this show often do is they gloat over their small victory and don't ever think of, well, what then happens next?
Yeah.
Because I'm going to be honest with you, a true Dark One unleashed is bad.
That's really bad.
You all die.
And I mean, I guess, like, just as she's gonna ask the author to write a happy ending for her, she could also ask him to write, like, not a happy ending for Rumpel, but, like, the Dark One does not take over Rumpelstiltskin and destroy the entire world.
I also don't know how much he can control that. I don't know the limitations of the author.
That's true. But Rumpel is so desperate that he tries to make a deal with Regina.
Mm-hmm. Desperation deal, in fact.
Yep, and she's just not having it.
Well, no, she just bullies him and takes it.
Yeah.
She just takes and takes the author. Which he seemed to be resigned to his fate. Like, yeah, he was over.
Mm-hmm. We learn that the page 23 that Regina found of her and Robin getting together was from a side story that the author had written, not meant to be, like, recording of history.
Alternate story.
Yeah.
And he says, someone is looking out for you.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that it may... So that means he wrote the story, did not intend for her to see it. Someone then manipulated events to get the page to Robin.
And Regina figures out that what they actually need is, like, the darkness of the Savior to turn the ink to make the magical ink. So she realizes that that person can be Lily. And she just cuts Lily's hand and says, welcome to Storybrooke.
That was such an unsatisfying conclusion. We sacrificed Cruella and the Charming's good nature for this dumbass Dark Savior storyline, only to find out that we could have just found Lily in the first place.
Also, like, I don't want to, like, spoil this, but Lily is in the finale, and then I think we never see her again.
Never see
her ever again. And theoretically, her and Emma are still tied together in this way that we have been told is, like, fated. Doesn't make any fucking sense.
I mean, yeah, this... Yeah. Yep. So, like, look, the side twist makes sense, but then what was the whole point of forcing Emma to go dark? We didn't have to spend all this time doing this bullshit.
It's very confusing.
We could have just... Like, I wish the episode was... I wish this season's theme had been, we are looking for darkness. And then we could be trying to drive the Savior towards darkness. And, you know, like, mm-hmm. we could even say, like, look at Regina's heart and, oh, the darkness isn't there. And maybe we try to look at Snow's heart and the darkness isn't there. Like, we're looking for where darkness could be. Instead, you did all this and we just had, like, a loophole. Which I think they even said in this, like, you think there's a loophole. Well, there always is. And he was right. Lily's the loophole.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. That I was just very disappointed in that conclusion.
I mean, it was kind of a deus ex machina.
100% it was. 100%.
Yeah. Something I did like about this episode is that it is full of funny lines, and I feel like it's been a while since we've had that.
It was a funny episode. Yeah. It had a lot of good lines, too. I mean, even the lines that Rumple keeps hitting, like, you know, you don't want to fight the Dark One, you know, and something. Yeah. It's kind of funny, but also, like, terrifying.
Really terrifying.
Yeah.
I also really like when Regina brings the author to Zelina, and he says, the pen is mightier than the, well, everything. He's just so, like...
Smug.
He's so smug.
What... The thing I really like about him is that he was all willing to help Regina until he realized that Regina's plan was boring as fuck.
Yep.
And then he went, eh.
Well, he just wants to write something good.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the reason that he kind of, like, pieces out is he's like, so I don't get to write anything?
Well, her plan was nothing.
Yeah.
And he was like, I'm just gonna... I actually like that he didn't have to go back to Gold. He was just like, I'm gonna go back to you. A dying Mr. Gold wasn't gonna do anything to him anymore. Mm-hmm. He's like, nah, I'd rather go back to him. At least he's got an interesting story.
Mm-hmm. The conversation with Zelina is interesting. Especially when you think about the flashback.
It's very heavy-handed.
Yeah, for sure. Especially because I feel like the mother in this episode is, like, I feel like it should be Maleficent mm-hmm. at this time. Mm-hmm. And, like, that's kind of the B-plot. But, like, Zelina essentially accuses Regina of being just like their mother. And...
Which, in my opinion, doesn't fit because that's not really Cora-like.
I think she was trying to say, which is I feel like is a stretch, is Cora abandoned a baby and now that's what you're doing.
I think what she's really saying is that Cora basically cast me out of her life like I never existed and you were about to do the same
yeah.
thing, which is like, I would care if it wasn't for the fact that your entire existence has been trying to make Regina's life miserable, so no fucking shit.
Yeah,
like Cora was wrong to do that to you. I don't agree that Regina is. Like, you've been nothing but a pain in the ass.
I feel like there wasn't enough, like, build-up here, or, like... Because I appreciate that Regina, like, finally realizes that she, like, has to get out of her own way, and, like, all she has to do is just be happy.
But, see, the problem with that, though, is that, like, that implies that her not taking that action wouldn't have made her happy, and it certainly would have.
Her not taking
that. Her having Isaac write Zelina completely out of existence would have made everything about her life happier.
Yeah, no. I mean, that's fair.
It darkens her heart. I guess maybe that's what we're going for. That wasn't really the moral of this story.
And then we get into some heavy-handed, like, oh, another woman defining her happiness relative to a man. And Regina says, Robin is in my happy ending. My happy ending is finally feeling at home in the world, and Robin is a part of that world. And I don't, there's not really anything wrong with that statement in general. Like,
there is. That statement is ridiculous. It's stupid and it's moronic.
Wow, okay, let me finish my sentence, please. I do, I mean, Regina has never felt like she is in a place where she can be happy.
Sure.
And I think that, like, maybe like my happy ending is fine and feeling at home in the world isn't like a wrong thing, but like Robin is also her happy ending.
Also correct. The problem with Zelina's statement is the thing that people often do when they say, what I want in life is what everyone should want in life.
Mm-hmm.
The problem with that is that you can't tell Regina that her happy ending can't be with a man. The argument should be it doesn't always just have to be. But that isn't what Zelina said. She's mocking the idea that anyone would simply be happy. So what's happy ending is with French Charming? Period. That is just fucking factual.
Well, and I mean, the idea, like, I understand the idea behind it, because, like,
it's a girl power statement.
If Charming dies, like, does Snow just die?
Yes, they have the same heart.
Okay.
In fact, yes, I'm pretty sure she does.
I had not thought about that. But I understand that we're like, Regina needs to feel something more than like, she can't put everything into Robin, but I don't think that she is. Like, she also has Henry and she has friends and like, she has, yeah.
Yeah, but the statement is trying to make this like, I don't need a man, we're so like independent bullshit. Fine, but like, that's okay. Like, if she said my happy ending is Henry, there's nothing wrong with that.
No.
It's not that every single person has to decide that a child is their happy ending,
yeah.
But you have a right to decide that a child is your happy ending, just like you have the right to decide that a partner is your happy ending.
Especially based on the flashback. Like, based on the flashback, Henry should be Regina's happy ending.
Well, I mean, that flashback, we can get to that at the end, because that was just fucking stupid all around. But, like, Zelina's happy ending is just torturing Regina. That's all she wants in life. Like, your plan was to literally go back in time and steal a life that sucked for everyone else. I don't think you should be defining anyone's happy ending for anyone.
It's also annoying that I feel like we're trying to make this connection here that, like, Zelina also is always getting in her own way. And just like Regina, Zelina, like, this isn't going to make Zelina happy in the long run. And we never actually, like, explore that or talk about it. Like, we just, like, never get any interiority about Zelina.
I mean, it is possible, if they're going for the you're just like mother and we're alike, it is possible that, oddly enough, the baby could be Zelina's happy ending.
Of course.
Regina.
Someone that actually loves her unconditionally.
Now, that has its own flaws, because as any person will tell you, if you're having a baby because you think it's going to be the thing that loves you, you've already fucked that child up. Like, that's just fundamentally wrong. But, I mean, like, that statement, it's like when Geppetto and Regina got into it, and Regina was the one who pointed out about, like, you really can't talk. Like, I just needed anyone else to make that statement.
Yeah.
Like, you being the person to make that statement, Zelina, of all people, being the one to try to make this, like, girl power statement to Regina was like, really? You don't have... You're on thin as fuck ice.
I mean, even Isaac, like, could have been, like, he's like... Well, that's boring.
Or even like, look, I loved Cruella, but I also had another alternative. Sometimes you just change the ending of the story. Would have been totally fine. Rumpel loves Belle 100%, but sometimes you have to find a new ending. It just is what it is. Yeah, I mean, it was a very poorly placed line delivered by the wrong person. And I'll say this, I think Rebecca Mader in this episode was fantastic.
Oh yeah, she was great.
She conveyed smugness and genuine terror and was really good in this episode. That line just needs to be written out of existence and pretend like it never happened. Also, like, Regina just decided at the last moment, after being called Mommy Dearest, I changed my mind.
Are we supposed to be, like, thinking that the flashback in this episode is, like, Regina's memories?
I don't think it is.
I don't know.
Feels awful similar to the power of happenstance.
Yeah.
Like, we're just doing things because.
Yeah, I think that's a reasonable assessment of what's going on here.
Yeah.
Anything else before we talk about Lily and Maleficent and So Charming?
No. I think we're good. I liked Isaac poofing away at the end. I thought that was a fun little twist.
I also just like how he even dramatically wrote it out. Like, I think he wrote the author poops away in a.
Well, I think he has to write out the exact action.
Yeah.
I don't know if you remember, there was this old, I want to say maybe Murder, She Wrote had it, but there was like a logo that would have like a paper going back and forth, and then it would kind of land on top of the books. It was like somebody, it was like an end of a TV show logo, and that kind of was like a play off that when like the paper just fell down. Yeah.
All right. It's been a while since we've had a top costume. You pointed out a top costume thing for me. Maleficent is wearing a dragon brooch.
Yeah.
That's fucking cool.
That's pretty awesome. I mean, Gina's costume's fantastic, but we've definitely seen that many times before.
Oh, of course, yeah.
I thought it was also kind of cool to see Nottingham dressed up as Robin. Or what he would think Robin would look like.
We even make him, like, brush his hair in a stupid way.
And I'll say that for the end, because the whole Nottingham Cora interaction was top tier.
Yeah, it was really good.
You want to go, what, Maleficent and Lily?
Yeah, I mean, I don't have that many notes here. I will say, I mean, we will just forever argue about this, but Maleficent said something that was like, oh, this is how I feel about revenge. She says, we can just be happy in the future, or we can be angry about the past.
Yeah, my argument usually isn't that that is always wrong. It is that in this case, there is something for Maleficent to look forward to, whereas, like, Daniel isn't coming back from the dead.
Yeah.
Like, this does make sense that what Maleficent is saying is that, like, I don't want to waste time that I've already lost chasing something that won't bring me happiness instead of being happy. If Lily's dead, then Maleficent getting revenge makes sense to me because, well, she can't have her baby, so this is the closest thing I can get to doing anything. But you can just spend time with your daughter instead. Okay, well, that makes more sense. Go do the thing that will actually make you happy. You just don't, for some reason. I mean, you kind of do get revenge because we talked about this in the pettiness conversation. Like, if somebody didn't work as hard, you enjoy their failure. That's pettiness and revenge, same concept.
It's less that I enjoy their failure, and it's more that I feel like my winning is better.
You're saying the same thing with different words. Okay. Sure. You're enjoying their lack of victory.
I also don't think, like, in the situation that you described, like, say Lily said, it wouldn't make me feel better to kill Snow and Charming.
Sure. But there's no harm in doing it either, is what I mean.
Except that it would make me feel worse.
Well, that's because you don't understand it. It would make a lot of people not feel worse. Everyone else on the planet who has, like, emotions understands this. You and Emma don't get it. The rest of us who exist in this world.
A lot of people think revenge is stupid, right?
A lot of people think smoking is smart. I don't really care what a lot of people think. They're wrong.
All right. Maleficent goes to Snow and Charming for help.
Yeah, what the fuck? Really? That did not seem to be a natural path.
I did like when they say, like, well, like, Emma did this, like, when she was first here, and, like, we knew that she's like this, and Maleficent's like, I don't know her. Like, what would she do? So it does make sense that she would kind of just ask parents, like, other parents that are, like, dealing with an adult child in the same way that, like, she is.
And I'd be with you if we want one episode removed from, I don't want any help from you. Verbatim, she said that.
She did say that.
I'm supposed to believe how much time has passed between last episode and this episode? That's
like a day.
So I'm supposed to believe in 24 hours she's completely flipped her opinion on the Charmings?
I guess. I mean, maybe she also thought no one else would help her. Like, what?
So you go to the people who screwed you over the most?
People that she knows want to atone for what they've done. Like, I don't know that anyone else would help her.
I know.
Like, Emma might, but, like, Emma's busy.
Yeah, but I wouldn't trust them. It would just not fundamentally trust them. You can't. They screwed you over in a way that is few have ever screwed anyone over.
I don't know.
Like, I would actually get if Maleficent more or less forced them to do it out of, like, guilt and rage. Like, you screwed me over, but, like, she actually comes to them with, like, hat in hand and, like, begs them for help. That just doesn't seem like the right dynamic between people who've gone through what they've both gone through. You screwed me, now I come to you with hat in hand begging for your help.
Because she knows that they will help.
Sure, but, like, she also knew that they weren't the type of people to do what they did to her. Like, the one thing that we've learned this entire season is that the Charmies aren't who we thought they were, which I think is a stupid premise, but it is the premise that we exist in now. So,
although what we come to in this episode, which I don't know if I buy, is Emma is like, but you're different people now, like, you've changed. Which, okay. I feel like if that had happened when they first met, like, before they, like, took away the kingdom and were fighting Regina, that would be, like, I mean, obviously the Emma timeline doesn't work there. No. But that would make more, like, they had done more. Like, they had become the people that they are.
Or had they really been, like, making amends for this?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was one thing to do it and then say, like, okay, from this moment forward, we will do everything in our power to fix it. But they didn't do that. Never mind, the story wasn't written, but, like, they just... And then when it arrived, they... actually it kind of lays this out pretty well. It's like they didn't want to disappoint you because they were ashamed.
Mm-hmm.
Which is fair. But, like, those motherfuckers were on a high horse this entire series about, I've said it many times, Charming always makes the right decisions. Charming always makes the right decisions. Snow White's always the virtue of good. Well, except for this bullshit. So I'm like, I don't think it, and I think they, odd enough, end up being the right people. I would rather they have been a facilitator in between them.
Mm.
Like, Maleficent goes to, I don't know, pick a person and then go, you know what, you're not going to hear this. The only other people who know what you're dealing with are the Charmings, and you're going to have to get over your mutual distaste for them
mm-hmm.
to potentially connect with your daughter. And then they, like, and then the Charmings are the one who are desperate to help her because, like, we screwed you, but we might be able to fix this. But that's not what we really got. We just got begging Maleficent.
Yeah. I did love, like, the look of, like, awe on Maleficent's face when she sees Lily as a dragon. It's like the coolest thing. Like, she's just like, that's so awesome.
Her own parent.
Yeah.
Also, I like that Regina cut her, took her blood, and just poofed out.
She's just like, yeah, I'm done.
And just left the town to deal with a rampaging dragon.
Yep. I mean, I don't think she knew that she was going to turn into a dragon, but she probably should have thought of that.
Really? You didn't think that the daughter of Maleficent who can turn into a dragon might turn into a dragon in a land with magic? Really, Regina? I know that you're busy, but I need you to take, like, three more steps in the logic here.
Sometimes Regina's really good at that. Most of the time, not so much. Three steps is too many steps for Regina.
And she, like, smugly taunted her.
I know.
So, like...
Welcome to Stormbrook.
God. We got a lot of glimpses of the old evil queen here, and it was kind of weird to see because it was in, like, contrast with the good Regina we've gotten used to. Because even the conversation with Zelina, she's very old school Regina, like, you did something to me, I'm gonna make you pay, very smug about it. Like, it was fascinating to kind of see that side of it. I was like, ah, that's the Regina that's still there. Yeah. Also, that's overly, going back to Maleficent and Lily, the overly dramatic, what the fuck was Snow White doing?
I don't know. I don't know what she was going to do. Like, I don't know what she didn't even have a sword. Like, what was she going to do?
Well, also, you think she's going to hurt Maleficent? Maleficent's a fucking dragon.
I don't know.
So she runs in there for no reason, and then gets smacked for no reason, and then she breathes like a line of fire for no reason, and then flies off.
Yeah. It was very strange. And it was also strange that, like, at times she seemed very in control of herself as a dragon. Then others, it was like she's spouting fire, which would make sense.
Yeah.
She's, like, completely out of control.
Totally. That part made sense. Like, I had no idea what to do. I've never been a dragon before. Yeah. So, like, but those actions seemed more intentional.
Yeah.
And then, like, I hate to say it, I feel like they only created that scenario just so that Emma could come in and save the day.
Yeah, probably.
There was no other reason for Mary Margaret to run in there and get smacked, knocked her head on a rock, and be bleeding. But, like, it was like, it had to set up our scene. It was like...
Totally. I also was annoyed with that scene.
You lied to me. I was told that we got Maleficent as a dragon, and he did not.
I'm sorry. I thought that we got Maleficent.
I thought we got dragon versus dragon. Like,
I thought that there was going to be... I'm really sorry. I am the loser of this episode.
As I said at the beginning of the episode, disappointing.
Yeah. I was also really annoyed that when Emma apologizes, she only apologizes to Snow.
So that actually didn't shock me because...
David... It didn't shock me, but it bothered me.
But David wasn't as bothered. Like,
yeah, I think you're right. He kind of was like, she'll get there. Like, just be patient.
Well, I also think David is more willing to accept the consequences of what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Snow has always been more of the self-righteous type who, you know, she says the whole, we did this thing. Like, she justifies it, and he's kind of like, yeah, I did it.
Yeah.
You know, I get that you're mad at me, and I wish you weren't, but I also understand that, like, you may never forgive. In the same way that he never forgave his father,
mm-hmm.
he acknowledges that she may just never forgive him, and he's made peace with that, and Snow cannot accept that. Like, she will always keep pushing it.
Yeah.
Don't push it, Snow. I won't. Immediately pushes it. I mean, is this the episode where they come back? From where the three can get out of the car?
Yeah.
She had the audacity to go in for a hug?
I know. A hug. It's ridiculous.
What about your relationship this entire season has implied that Emma wants to hug you?
She also didn't even try to say something first.
No.
Like, she didn't try to say, like, I'm glad you're back. Pause for a moment, see if a hug might be acceptable.
And this is why I think you said, we covered this in the Charming's deep dive, but, like, Charming gets Emma in a way that Snow refuses to. And in some way, I think it's because Snow is a bit more selfish. Mm-hmm. Snow doesn't actually care. She's like, I want to be close to my daughter. And I don't care if you are angry at me. You cannot push me away. And Emma's like, recourse. Like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Like, I made it very clear I'm mad at you, and she's just, like, heartbroken. It's like, well, duh. Like, what are you doing?
Something else I wish we'd spent more time with, which is, like, related to that. Like, Snow is very, like, open in general about her emotions.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, Lily says that to Maleficent. She's like, oh, my God, you're, like, so open, and I just, like, don't know how to deal with this. And it would be fascinating to, like, understand how Maleficent's response to trauma is so much different than, like, Regina or Emma.
Well, like, we saw her response to trauma is just, like, going to a deep depression.
That's true.
Yeah.
We did see that. We still don't quite understand what the trauma was.
I know.
And we don't, like, we understand that, like, Regina helped her come out of that, but we kind of don't ever really, like, we don't know enough about Maleficent.
I truly wish we'd gotten to see a true Maleficent origin story, because mm-hmm. I still, like I said, I think Stefan may have been the villain at some point because of the way that they framed them in that story. Another thing I wanted to point out. So, Lily is obviously part of her curse, I don't know how to describe it, is that she's a jackass.
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of just,
yeah,
you know, she's prickly.
Yeah.
And she mocks Maleficent for, like, how did you let two just basic humans jack your baby? And I have to admit, I don't get it either. You're Maleficent. Like, you know, she kind of bucks up to Regina's, like, the old me would have eaten you for breakfast. And I'm like, but not when it came to protecting your baby?
Yeah, it's not like she could, like, well, I don't know how the egg works, but I do understand that she was, like, afraid, like, she'd be afraid to turn into a dragon and attack them because she might, like, break the egg or whatever. She was in Dragonport, and then she turns into a human.
Yeah.
And then they say, we'll bring it back, which, like, I don't know that I certainly wouldn't have trusted that. And, like, why wouldn't she try to do anything else?
It makes me think that Maleficent is not as powerful as that. Because, I mean, I hate to say it, in almost all the scenarios we've seen, Maleficent is on the receiving end of a beating.
Yeah.
Charming beats her down. Hook obviously survives. Emma takes her down. Regina beats her with Tiny Black Unicorn as leverage. She's so weak that she can't even turn into a dragon. And finally, she's able to do so. But obviously, they had beaten her before. So it's like...
Well, and she really only does that, to protect Regina.
I think you're correct.
But
it seems to imply that, like, maybe she isn't the great power. Like, maybe...
Maybe she is not a scary dragon bitch?
Well, maybe she's more like Cruella than we think. That maybe her reputation precedes her, mm-hmm. but in fact, she is not as powerful as she once was.
That's possible.
Because she seems to take a lot of L's.
Have you seen the Maleficent movies with Angelina Jolie?
No.
I also have not. And I'm curious about them now.
Yeah, I've actually been curious about watching those movies because I've heard okay things.
I've heard good things about them too. And I imagine it's a similar, like, sympathy for the villain. Like, we learn more about the villain and that she's actually not the villain that we thought she was.
Or, like, something happened to her in the past that made her villainous. Yeah. And in this one, they certainly play the motherly, just a woman who wants to reconnect with her daughter. She doesn't even seem to have a sense of rage in this episode. Yeah. In fact, she's more pride. Like you said, the pride that she has when she sees Lily going out of control is like, she's so beautiful. Uh-huh. She looks just like me.
Yeah. One must assume that in those movies, and obviously we know here, she's not just mad that she didn't get invited to a birthday party.
Well, maybe she did. Yeah. And also, unfortunately, I do believe this is the last appearance of Maleficent.
I think so.
And I think this is the last appearance of Lily.
Yeah. Lily's in the next two episodes.
Is she?
One of them, briefly, but yeah.
Mm-hmm. But, like, this is the end of the Maleficent and mm-hmm. Lily story. So
we never really get to understand anything about this connection between the Savior and Lily.
So to recap, our Queens of Darkness, Ursula, gone. Cruella, dead. Maleficent, reunited with daughter. That's it.
That's it. Yep.
Disappointing.
Shall we talk about the splashback?
Sure.
You
have no more to talk about in the current day?
I don't.
I did want to talk about the Emma and Hook conversation.
Oh, sure.
I think it is a very interesting parallel that if you go back to the end of 3B, the Charming's essentially immediately turned on Hook.
Mm-hmm.
And then Charming kind of actually is like, well, he was pinned into a corner. Now the situation has flipped, and the Charming's on the outside with Emma. And it is Hook who successfully, argues Emma down and was like, you gotta give them another chance. They just made a mistake. Like, we've all done terrible things. And finally, Emma fucking listens. Like, it's shocking. And you're like, good job, Hook. Like, everything he said was correct. Like, he didn't say anything that was wrong. He doesn't manipulate. He's just like, yeah, they tried to be better people. They made a terrible mistake, as we all have. You can't lose them. It's not worth
it. Yeah. I do appreciate it is rare when they use, like, a heavy-handed theme like this, and it actually works across all of the storylines, but the, like, you are standing in the way of your own happiness. Like, you're just gonna lose them because you're mad at them.
Yeah, I mean, your end game is to push them away because they did something that made you not want to be with them. Well, you spent damn near 30 years wanting parents, and now you're gonna throw them away over a mistake? Like, I don't know. That seems kind of dumb. But also, the fact that she's willing to listen to him does seem to imply that, like, okay, she's at least opened up to Hook enough that he's able to talk her out of this insanity.
Yeah. And he knew exactly what to say. Because Regina's tried to talk to her about this before, too. She told her essentially the same thing.
And Hook tried before, but they both, and she, her response was, well, you forgive them. It's like, but finally she's ready to listen. Petulance is broken down.
Speaking of petulance, Regina at the beginning of the flashback has, like, peak petulant child voice. Like, don't talk to me about this day, Daddy!
Yeah.
She literally says, Daddy. Not that she, I mean, I understand, like, she has a reason to be really upset about this, but.
Seeing Regina back in time, I mean, this, so I will say, the behavior of Regina does parallel to the behavior of Regina currently. Because in both instances, she's kind of acting vindictful.
Mm-hmm.
Vindictive.
Vindictful.
That's not a word. But yeah, like, in the past, I mean, she is just pure spoiled. Like, she almost seems like a teenager. Don't talk to me about this, Daddy. You know today's a bad day for me. I'm mad. I'm going to kill a husband because they had the audacity to get married on a day in which I lost my true love. When?
Yeah. And then she goes to put a flower on Daniel's grave, and her mother is
the
there.
The fear and, like, just overall, like, her facial and body expression, I knew it was like, that's got to be Cora. Mm-hmm. There's nobody who can evoke that level of, like, terror and disgust. And then she just says, mother. Like, beautiful. And I was like, Cora's back! Let's fucking go!
Yeah, I mean, Barbara Hershey is a delight at all times.
This Queens of Darkness needed more Cora. It really did.
I truly... Like, it almost doesn't matter because, like, all of Regina's actions in this episode are Regina doing things to hurt herself. But I, like, truly don't know what Cora's intentions were here. Like,
oh, I do. I think exactly what Regina said is
just
correct.
Exactly.
Yeah, 100%.
I mean, that makes sense.
Cora doesn't actually deny it. What she says is, you're not going to do this to her. Like, she does the Rumple thing of, like...
Afterwards, she does say... That's not what I wanted at all. Which does, I mean, is...
I don't believe she wanted Regina to go barren.
Of course.
That, I think, is true. And I think the problem is that because Regina knows who her mother is, she takes the most extreme example ever and goes, well, I'm just gonna... I'd say cut off my nose to spite my face, but that doesn't feel extreme enough for what she does.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
So,
especially because, like, I mean, like, as a person who has, like, selected not to have children, sure. Like, and you yourself, like, that's a perfectly fine choice, sure. But I don't think that was what Regina wanted.
But, like, I wouldn't intentionally castrate myself because I got into an argument with my father.
Yeah.
I love me more than I hate other people.
Yeah.
And I don't know that is true for Regina. In fact, I would argue it is not true for Regina.
Oh, Regina definitely hates herself more than... Regina hates herself.
But I think Regina hates others more than she even loves herself.
Yeah.
Like, I think it is more important. Like, even I've said, what was your plan in Storybook? She didn't even consider the idea of making herself happy in Storybook. She just wanted to make everybody else miserable.
Totally.
This is a crystallization of that. I'm just going to screw you over, Mommy. But, I mean, now you're barren.
I mean, also, further petulant child, oh, for heaven's sake, you're having a tantrum.
Is she wrong?
No, she's not wrong. She's not wrong.
Okay. Before we go to, like, the end. Cora Nottingham, I could have watched that for an... Give me an extended scene for an hour.
I agreed. Like, Cora's ability to use her, like, sexuality... But, like, not necessarily... I like, there was energy there, but I don't actually know that he was interested in Cora. But, like, He's clearly interested in what Cora has to offer. I just am not sure about. I don't know. It was very strange.
He reminded me of Hook and Cora.
Uh-huh.
Like, Hook kind of tries something, and she's like, yeah, your pretty face buys you a lot. And I think she's just like, young men have probably been throwing themselves at her, especially because she's a woman clearly with power, and she's just like, please.
Yeah.
Like, the you know, Nottingham, right? Like, well, I need a man.
I'm a man.
But she didn't say anything. He just, like, kind of is like, hey, you know, you're kind of looking at a man right here.
Well, he's also exactly the kind of man would go after a woman like Cora, even though she's, like, too old for him. Because she has power that he wants.
I don't believe that he believes anyone is.
That's probably true.
Yeah, like, actually, I even like, and he also does the classic thing that a lot of men do when they get rejected by a woman, is that if you remember when he was after Marion, he was all complimentary and flowery, and then when he talks about her, it's like, oh, that sickly little wench that nobody would want. I'm like, who are we talking about?
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, oh, that's right, she rejected you, so now she's the demon.
He does have a rather large vocabulary. I like how he called Robin a sanctimonious blowhard.
Not wrong, though. I like Robin Hood, but he is a sanctimonious blowout.
Yeah, that's fair. And he's so slimy. You just need some manly arms to lift you up. Like, he's really good. He's really good as Nottingham.
Yeah.
I would love to see a Robin Hood movie in which he plays the Sheriff of Nottingham.
I want Old Hook and Nottingham to run into each other.
Oh.
Have a sleaze off.
Hook would definitely win.
I don't know. Nottingham is pretty fucking sleazy.
I guess it depends on what we mean by win. Nottingham is definitely sleazier than Hook.
Yeah.
Hook is more attractive than Nottingham.
Yeah. But what I'm saying is that, like, who can make me more reviled on screen?
Oh, Nottingham, definitely. Absolutely.
And Hook is pretty disgusting.
100%.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess that's hard because, like, you find Hook more attractive. So, like, by definition, the less attractive man is more sleazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is fundamentally fucked up. I just want to be clear on that.
Yeah. I once read this thing that I think is brilliant. It was like, if you're ever watching a movie and you're unsure if a man is problematic, picture that man as Danny DeVito.
Yep. Well, like, most guys make this joke in the workplace, and it's like, the only difference oftentimes between flirting and sexual harassment is whether or not you're attractive.
Yeah.
Because you could do all the same things that a guy does that's attractive, and they're like, oh, he was just talking to me. And, like, I'm not defending sexual harassment. We all know the way the line should be. But unfortunately, the pretty people bias is always going to be a thing. It just is what it is.
Although Nottingham would definitely say things that everyone would think is sexual harassment.
Nottingham is so far over the line that, like, even his, like, partner would be like, dude, not okay. Like, you just can't say shit like that. And the thing is, I don't think he actually thinks he's being sleazy.
No.
I think he thinks he's completely okay. And she's like,
I think that he thinks that he's the sheriff that protects the realm.
And that women want him. Like, when he does this, he's like, don't you want a piece of this?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And then, so after, you know, they kind of come to their agreement, what was he doing with Regina? I don't even know.
I
was so good.
I truly don't know.
Like, okay. Theoretically, right? Let's say you're prepping me to date someone that you need something from, and this is your daughter who you know, you're probably gonna, like, give me a few things to stay away from. For example, my daughter gets triggered when you call her weak. So avoid things that imply that she is weak.
I also like how he says weak, and then he corrects himself and says,
feminine! That isn't any better! Have you lost your mind? It was so bad, it was great.
Oh, God.
But the thing is, I think in his mind, he equates the two.
I think that's 100% true.
Yeah. It was pretty glorious.
I also love later when Regina, like, calls Cora out on this situation, and Cora says, your so-called soulmate is a married, moralizing sap. The one I found is much better. And the reasons that she likes Nottingham are so, like, so Cora. Because he's kind of an idiot, and he's really easy to control.
So he's Henry.
Yeah. Yes, he is Henry. He's kind of an idiot, and he's really easy to control. Absolutely.
A level of power.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, if you think about it, she only married Henry so that she could weasel her way into royalty and create a baby. That was it. She didn't love Henry. She just thought he was a dim-witted fool we learned in The Miller's Daughter.
Yeah.
She knows Nottingham's a dim-witted fool, but he can get a baby.
He can get a baby. And he's excited about it.
And then I love that the lion tattoo, like, you couldn't disguise that any better. Could you just gotten a tattoo?
I know. It's I think the one thing that bothers me about this is, does Cora think that Regina is stupid?
Yes.
That's really sad. Because Regina has many things, but she's not stupid.
No, but when she is emotional.
Yeah.
She can.
She does things like drink potion.
She can be dumb. She's not generally stupid, but when her emotions are flaring, she's blinded.
Yeah.
I just don't, like, long term, what was the play here? She was never going to find out.
Maybe she just hoped that he was going to be extra sleazy and they were just going to, like, have sex right there. And then she was just going to have the baby.
Actually,
like, immediately.
That is what happened to Cora.
Immediately.
Like, basically, yeah. Jonathan bet her in one night and got her pregnant. So maybe.
She's like, I'll leave you two alone.
By morning, you will be with child. I know this happened from experience.
Yes.
Okay. So I guess based on her past history, that's, yeah, that's a thing. And then, boy, Regina, what the fuck? Okay, I get it. Like, I'm never going to marry this man. Totally reasonable. Get the hell out of my life. But now I'm going to... And, you know, if her choice was voluntary, totally fine. But it was like, I'm going to cut off my face to spite you. Not just the nose. I'm going to literally just rip a piece of me out.
Yeah.
Not because I don't want to have kids, but because I don't want you to ever be able to talk to my kid.
Yeah, well, and I think that Regina, like, did want to have children.
It sounds like it.
Like, I think she did. I think that was one of the things that made her sad about being married to the king. Like, because she, like, he didn't want to be with her in that way. So they, like, didn't have more children. I mean, children aren't for everyone. But, like, if you want them, you should definitely not drink a potion that makes it so you can't have them.
And, like, the crazy thing is that, like, for as insane as Cora is, she hits it with a great line. You think it's strong to hurt yourself. It's not. Like, this is the dumbest thing you are ever going to do.
Although I do think that what she says makes a lot of sense, like, from, not, like, sensical, but, like, like, if you're, like, being Regina,
yeah.
You made it clear you don't think anyone's going to love me, so why not make it official? After all, love is weakness. Like, she's, I think that it's not just that she's trying to spite her mother, which is, like, the most important thing. Like, I think that she thinks that this is, like, right. Because, like, everyone hates me, so would my child.
Yeah, I mean, maybe. It seems like one of those, like, gotcha moments in Regina's mind. Like, I'm going to throw this line back in your face. And I think what Cora is trying to tell her is that, like, you're not hurting me here. Like,
yeah.
Cool. Even she says, if I really wanted to take power from you, I would have found a more direct route.
Yeah.
Like, that.
Well, and actually, like, if you think about it logically, like, it doesn't actually make sense. Because if Regina dies... Cora could take control just, like, by killing Regina, because she has the power to do so. But if Regina dies, the kingdom would not accept a child of Regina's as the royal...
As they've already said, Snow is the rightful heir.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
And the only reason they follow Regina is because they're afraid of her.
And even then, most of the people have started to rebel.
Yeah.
It's like this...
And there would be no reason to follow the child.
No!
And, like, Cora could make them, but Cora could just do that without...
Just do that now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't, this was not a well thought out thing by Regina.
No, but I mean, it is, like, it is very in character for her. Like, it makes a lot of sense that she would do that.
Regina's villain of Regina's story is Cora and Regina.
The only one standing in the way of your happiness is you.
Which is true.
Yeah.
It is very true. The problem I have with this flashback is that it is fundamentally correct and belonged in season two when Cora was the one screwing her over, where she goes, you know what? I'm tired of doing things the wrong way. I'm going to do things the right way.
It also would have been so much more powerful if the present was that, or, like, her discovering that, like, the reason that she can't be with Henry in the present is because of her current actions.
Or why she can't kill Marion, because that will never, Robin would never forgive. Like, there was a good lesson to be told with this. Erasing Zelina from time. I don't think that's it. Like,
no.
You can argue it's fundamentally wrong, but that's a flimsy argument, in my opinion. Like, Zelina's a monster. I like Zelina. I enjoy the character now, but if I'm Regina, I'm like, no, be gone, bitch.
Yeah. Anything else before we dive in here?
Just the very end. So when the author slips away, and he goes back to Gold, and Gold is dying. Like, he is on the ground.
He can barely see.
Yeah, I mean, that is the weakest we have ever seen Golden. We saw him on his deathbed before, but now his vision is gone. His heart is we saw like him pull out his heart. There is a flickering light left. He is running on fumes. And then he snaps and he shows the thing, the Book of Heroes and Villains, and that's how the story ends. Mm-hmm. Great cliffhanger.
Really good cliffhanger, for sure.
Really looking forward to the next episode. I have two favorite ones.
I have four.
Oh. Is one of them Mother and Daughter Reunite? No. Dragons? Oh.
It is not.
Okay, go.
My first one is when Cora walks in when Henry is brushing Regina's hair. Is so fucking weird. And he's like, Cora? And she's like, yes, hello, get out, Henry. And then he just leaves.
So when I was younger, like 6 or 7 years old, my grandmother used to actually give me like a dog to brush her hair.
Yeah.
That's the first thing I thought of when she did that. I was like, you're brushing your daughter's hair. That's so weird.
Yep.
The final scene. I absolutely just love that final scene.
I have that one as well. Rumple snapping to make the Heroes and Villains book appear is so cool.
I also just like the idea that like Rumple finds a way to stay alive literally at the last moment.
Mm-hmm. My next one is a quote from Isaac that I just love. He loves to talk about the art of writing. When he describes Regina, very clear goals plus totally damaged personality with a self-destructive streak.
Tell me that's wrong.
Yeah, like Regina must be a delight to write.
I think that's a funny quote both in the show and like as a writer of this show, she must be a delight to write.
Mm-hmm.
Staying on the author. The pen is mightier than everything.
Yeah. He's got some good lines here.
Yeah.
My last one is in the flashback. Cora says, you'll never be happy. You don't know how. To Regina.
Painfully true.
Yeah. And also, like, partially, like, what a thing to say to your daughter. One. True.
Right.
But also, that's Cora's fault. Like, both because she didn't provide her, like, motherly love that she needed, and she killed the only person that Regina ever loved.
You know, so we talked about this a lot in the last episode. Yeah, I think Cora put her on the path towards darkness. I also think, in some way, Regina was such a self-sabotaging person. I think she would have fucked up in the end no matter what.
I think that she would have done that if Daniel hadn't died.
I think you are who you are to some degree. Like, I think if you look at, like, most of the characters in this show, regardless of whether it's good or bad, their traits are usually pretty strong. And it's like saying that, like, Rumple wouldn't have been a coward. I think he would have been. I think he was always destined to be a coward at some degree.
But I think that trait is, like, the result of trauma. Just, like, I don't know that Rumple... Like, Rumple's most courageous act as a human was hobbling himself to, like, go back to his son, which many people saw as...
I'd argue killing the Dark Room is probably more courageous than that. But it's one
of those. Sure, but it also happens before that. That happens after.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And most people call him a coward for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't think that... I mean, Rumple is a small person. Like, he's not, you know, a big burly man that can, like, beat people up.
Sure.
But he like, wanted to go to war. Like, he wasn't a coward.
He didn't want to go to war. He was willing to go to war. Those are different things.
Sure.
It's like, look at Charming and James, right? Charming and James are fundamentally opposite people, but they have similar traits. They are both self-righteous fuckers who believe what they're doing is fundamentally the right thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
James is evil. Charming is good. Raised by different people. But, like, there are just some qualities about them that are just who they are. I think Snow White, I think Regina, to some degree, was always going to be a bit self-sabotaging. Would she be murdering towns and killing villages? Probably not. But there was some part of her in there that was always going to be, I think, destructive. My favorite scene is a thing that they always fuck up, I feel like, in this show, but they do it right here. I don't need to make a big, bad plot. Rumple, you're dying. I'll take that.
Thank you.
Thank you. I'll take him. I'll take the author. See you later.
Yeah.
He smartly assesses the situation. And Rumple is desperate. He's a desperate soul. And he just collapses on the ground. Yeah. He's like, nothing I can do.
I think that's a good one.
Good job, Regina.
Most ridiculous moment? I only have one.
Is it the potion?
It's not the potion,
actually. How is it not the potion? I got two, so go ahead.
I think I didn't choose that because while it is ridiculous, like, in the broader view, like, I think that it makes sense that Regina did that. Like, that Regina would do that.
Okay.
Snow charging at a dragon.
No, I didn't even think about that. That was
she just runs at a dragon.
Well, what was she doing? Was she trying to save Maleficent?
Was she going to pull Maleficent away? Was she going to distract the dragon? I don't know, but, like, not good.
Add that to my ridiculous count. I got two more outside of that.
Okay.
The Baron potion. That is such an overreaction.
No, I think that's situation. Fair.
As I said, with very harsh words, Zelina's statement about another woman defining her happiness by the love of a man, in this show, talking about all of the people who actually do get happiness by that, is one of the dumbest and most ridiculous things I've ever heard.
Fair.
Especially because, like, I feel like that makes sense for Zelina to believe that, maybe, because we've never really seen her with anyone, have we?
No.
Yeah.
Rumple. Sort of.
But she wasn't with...
I know.
And her love was a weird, like, obsession.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Loser?
I only have one. I don't know who else it could be.
I have one.
I have Regina.
I have Regina. Yeah.
I don't know who else it could be besides Regina.
Specifically, like, flashback Regina.
Well, yeah, but current Regina kind of loses, too. Lost
yeah,
the author in the end.
Theoretically, she didn't feel like she needed the author for herself anymore at that point.
Sure,
but
that doesn't make it true.
Now he's just going to go write whatever Rumple wants.
Yeah, I'm like, the fact that the author is back with gold tells you that that's probably not good for you. Yeah, I mean, the only other person I thought was a loser here was Henry, only because of lack of existence.
Henry Sr. also just being the worst always. Just the weakest of weak. He just lets his daughter kill those people.
I know.
Because she's having a tantrum. And then he just leaves when Cora tells him to leave.
Leave. The weakest of weak men.
Mm-hmm. I have two winners.
What are two winners?
My first one is Maleficent.
I also have Maleficent.
She got what she wanted.
The things that you gave her credit for last episode
fair.
Happened in this episode.
Yep. And she also, I think, is, like, arguably the person in this episode that isn't doing what everyone else is doing, which is standing in the way of her own happiness.
She is smartly realizing what I want is in front of me,
yeah.
And instead of trying to do something else, I just want that. Please give me that, I would be happy. Yeah, no, I agree with that. Who's your second?
Zelina.
I also have Zelina. Not dead.
Not existing.
Not removed from existence. Feels like a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Also, what's interesting about her is that her happiness just comes from Regina's torment, and the fact that she's going to continue that feels very Cruella-ish, but she is happy about it.
I don't know that that will last, but maybe.
From what I've seen from the Zelina character since returning, she is fueled by pettiness and revenge.
I think... yes, like, since returning, and I, like, she seems genuinely happy now. Like, she's a winner of this episode for sure. But when you think about, like, what we know from 3B, and, like, the flashback, like, she wanted to be chosen by anyone. Like, not necessarily, like, by a man, or, like, by her mother, or by Rumpelstiltskin. Like, I think any of those things would make her feel chosen. Now I think she's like, oh, I'll feel chosen by this baby, because it has to love me.
I'd be very curious to see, and I don't know if we really get this, Regina in, like, a relationship, or Zelina in a relationship, where would she feel differently if she was actually being chosen?
I don't know.
Yeah, it would be fascinating.
That's a good question. The only thing I wrote for what are you looking forward to next week was heroes and villains in capital letters.
Oh.
I'm looking forward to heroes and villains.
This was disappointing because the conclusion to a lot of the threads was unsatisfying.
Uh-huh.
You know, the whole dark savior thing turned out we didn't even need a dark savior because her darkness was in Lily. I thought Maleficent and Lily, while that was like a nice moment, should have been built up much more.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't even really talk about this, but like, Emma finally forgave her parents, but even that moment felt kind of like fake and forced. Like, mommy hit her head, so I had to come over, and then she's like, yeah, it's about enough. It's like...
I cried. I have not cried in a really long time, and I cried when she said, my mom.
Yeah. But again, it was only in a moment of crisis. I mean, that's typical Emma. It was just like, it felt like all of the things that we had been building were just concluded in such an unsatisfying way. It was a bit disappointing. I am hoping that Heroes and Villains, being the season finale, will not be unsatisfying and disappointing. I recall liking these two episodes.
Same.
So
I remember being frustrated that there wasn't more, and I have kind of like a fundamental quibble with it, but that's okay.
I think Heroes and
Villains. It doesn't hurt my joy of watching it.
I think this should have been the final episode of 4B, and 5A should have been Heroes and Villains as an alternate telling of the story. Give me a full 13 episodes of this alternate universe, and then they have to fight their way out of it. Because two episodes it kind of feels like how I feel about Snowdrifts, a meaningless flashback that ultimately did nothing of value.
I just looked up when the last time I cried was, because I was curious, and it was...
When Ingrid died, right?
No. I cried in the Heroes and Villains, the first episode of the half season. And then I giggled because you chose yourself as the winner of that episode.
Because it was over. Wait. I chose myself as the winner of 4A.
I think Heroes and Villains is the final episode of 4A.
It is. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So I have not cried at all this half season.
We've had any deeply emotional
moments. No, I think that's true.
Yeah.
Well, and also, like, number one trigger, Emma was crying. Like, a person crying on the screen makes me cry.
Yeah.
And that we haven't had a lot of that.
Because I thought we would get that. Like, I was like, I will say it's very weird to me that you didn't cry when the baby was taken. Like, I don't understand how that didn't trigger you. Like, Maleficent is devastated.
Yeah, I don't know why that did.
You're just like, oh, yeah, I forgot about that. Baby was kidnapped and sent to a portal.
Babies.
But the savior is sad, so it's gotta cry.
All right. Well, please be sure to join us next time when we watch both season 4, episode 22 and 23, Operation Mongoose, parts 1 and 2.
Season finale is here. We'll see you next time.